great to be here this morning and to have you as a part of this service. The early service this morning, we had between 200 and 300. We had 202. Now, if you put 202 people in here with the group that we have, just think about how overflowing we would be. We are so thankful that you are here. I want to tell you just a bit about the next two Sunday mornings. Both of them are just a little special. Next Sunday morning, Brother Reeder Oldham, one of our elders, will be speaking on the subject of 2,610 to zero. Now, that's not a ball score. I think the record was 222 to zero when Georgia Tech beat Cumberland University back 2 years ago. But today marks 2,609 Lord's Days in a row that Brother Oldham has been in worship services to God. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, 2,610, and he's going to be speaking to us at both services next Sunday about some of the principles involved in living the Christian life. I'm thankful for many things about our elders here, and one of the things is that just about all of our elders could get in this pulpit and preach God's word, maybe even do a better job than I do, and I appreciate their support and their willingness and their abilities. Brother Oldham will be speaking next Sunday morning. 2 weeks from today, I plan to preach four sermons on Sunday morning at each service. Now, don't decide immediately not to come. I'm going to preach four mini-sermons, and that's M-I-N-I, not M-A-N-Y. I want to speak about 5 minutes on singing, about 5 minutes on prayer, about 5 minutes on the Lord's Supper, and about 5 minutes on giving during the morning worship hour 2 weeks from today, as we really think about how we worship God during that service. I have announced in the bulletin and in other ways that our subject this morning is Remember Who You Are. And if you don't get anything else out of the lesson today, I want you to carry those four words with you. Remember Who You Are. A little article that I read several years ago prompted the thinking that brought about this lesson. The story was told of the time that a certain son was leaving home to go to college for the first time. His father said, "Son, I'd like to sit down with you for a moment and give you some advice." That son expected, no doubt, as you and I would have, that his father was going to talk to him for several minutes, probably say something to him about honesty and decency, maybe something about moral principles, maybe something about being sure that he attended Bible study and worship where he was going to be. But instead of that, the father said four words to that son. Remember who you are. And I'm not for sure that he could have given that son any better advice. Many of you that are in the audience this morning fit this situation exactly. Today is perhaps the first or second Lord's Day that you've been away from your family setting. Many of the rest of you have been in the university for a while. You know some of the settings that are there, some of the blessings that are there, some of the temptations that are there in life. And I'm convinced that this morning, as we think about launching out into a new year, in a sense, for many of you, and a new part of the year for all of us, that it would be extremely difficult to select a lesson that's more important than this one this morning. Remember who you are. Paul knew who he was. For example, in Acts 22 and verse 3, he said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. He knew who he was from that standpoint of life. Paul also knew who he was in his relationship to Christ, as expressed in passages like 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He knew who he was, and he never forgot who he was. He never forgot the good things that were associated with who he was, and he never forgot those times that were less than what they should have been, as he thought about who he had been and who he really was at this time. Remember who you are. In five directions today, I want to suggest that you remember who you are. Number one, look backwards to your ancestors. As Paul was looking back to his here in Acts 22, verse 3. Remember who you are as far as your family is concerned, your family that has brought you to this point. That's important. And it's an important factor in helping you to make the proper decisions at those decision points that you are now facing and will soon face in life. This was important to people during Bible times. For example, in John 8:33, the people said to Jesus, "We are Abraham's seed." Well, listen, let me tell you, I'm a descendant of Abraham. In a sense, I wear the same name that Abraham did as far as the people's concerned. In verse 39, Jesus said, if you're Abraham's seed, then bring forth works that show that you're Abraham's seed and show that you're worthy to be called Abraham's seed. He was saying, yes, you need to remember who you are, but you need to remember that what you do is affected by who you are and also affects what is said about that name that you wear. In Romans 11, verse 1, Paul even said, I'm a descendant of Abraham. He was glad to claim that. He was looking back to his ancestors. This point applies in a spiritual sense. As Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, not only did he say, Timothy, I see in you an unfeigned or pure faith, but he said, I saw it in your mother Eunice and in your grandmother Lois. He said, Timothy, I realize that who you are today depends a great deal on who's behind you as far as your family is concerned. All of us need to realize that. There have been a lot of people down through the years that have worn what's his name. That's the way John introduced me this morning. There are a lot of people down through the years that have worn the name Flat. My dad has been wearing that name now for almost 76 years. My grandfather wore that same name for 87 years. My great-grandfather not only wore the same last name that I wear, but wore the same first name that I wear. I was named after him. And you know, what I do today, good or bad, is going to say something about that name. I think I understand this a little bit better after having children of our own and a grandson now. But I can remember when Dad and Mother would say something to me about how thankful they were or how proud they were when I did something that was good. And the opposite would be said when it was the other way. Because you see, everything that I do in my life not only affects me personally, but it affects my immediate family and it affects the larger family. All my ancestors who've worn that name are affected by the kind of life that I live. And when I remember that I wear the name Flat, that's the same name that my dad and grandfather and all these folks back through the years wore, it causes me to stop and think. Now, there are not as many of us Flats as there are you Smiths and Johnsons and Jones and Millers and Browns. It takes about half of our directory to list those five families. But there are a lot of us, and I need to remember who I am. In the second place,
Remember who you are as you look to the future and think about your descendants. God's word emphasizes this in a negative sense back in Exodus chapter 20, right in the setting of the giving of the Ten Commandments, where he said the iniquities of the fathers will be visited on the third and fourth generations. Now, he was not talking about inherited sin, but he certainly was pointing out that there's going to be an inherited environment of sin. And many times the consequences of that which is done by the parent or the grandparent or the great-grandparent will be suffered, or at least will be involved with the one who is in the third or the fourth generation. What you are today and who you are today is going to determine in large measure what will happen to your sons and daughters, grandchildren, and on down the line. God's word emphasizes that so much. Decisions that some of you will be making about a college career, what you will do in life, may very well affect how you will be able to support a family later on. Decisions that some will make today will affect not only their own health, but the health of their descendants. Case in point, the mother who uses cocaine and then delivers a baby that is referred to as a cocaine baby. What you do relative to your own physical body and your own mind today will be affecting what will happen on down generations from now. And so you need to look to the future as you think about who you are. Many of you will be selecting a spouse in the next few years. That's going to have a direct effect on your descendants in many different ways. Many of you will be deciding your relationship to God and carrying on that relationship that you've already started. That will affect what happens to your descendants. I hope I'm not a Christian this morning just because my dad and mother were and are. But I fully realize that the reason I began studying God's word and going to Bible study and worship at a time that's before I can even remember as far as attendance is concerned is because they were Christians. It's had its effect. And the decisions that you make will have an effect going in that direction as far as your reputation is concerned. It's going to affect those who will wear the same name that you wear. I have a lot of love and respect for my ancestors. But one thing that I did not appreciate on the part of my grandfather, who's also Dal's grandfather, is I believe that he could pull out more skeletons out of people's closets than anybody I ever saw, especially during the time that I was dating. If I even thought about dating a certain girl, Pa Flat knew how many times her great-grandfather had gotten drunk and how many times her grandfather had not paid his debts. But it does illustrate a point that what you and I do today, the reputation that we have, is going to affect our descendants for ages to come. One of the greatest privileges that I've had in life is to go back to my home county and preach the gospel in gospel meetings. I've preached in at least one gospel meeting in my home county for 32 straight years. And one of the things that's made it so easy for me to go back is that as far as I know, there's not one thing that my dad and mother have ever done that I've had to live down. I can go back to that county, I can tell them whose son I am, and I'm just as proud to do that because my dad and mother have lived a reputation in that area that I've never had to live down. And it's opened up opportunities even to preach the gospel. Remember who you are. In the third place, look outward. Not just backward and forward, but look outward and remember who you are. Each one of us has an influence on the people with whom we associate. Not only are you a part of everyone you have met, but everyone whom you've met is a part of you. To the young man Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul said, "Be thou an example of the believers." In other words, let other people see in you the kind of example that they ought to see. And in Philippians 2 and verse 5, he said, we are shining as lights out in the world. And I don't have to take the time to say, as we've said so many times, how the gospel is seen in us as we associate with other people. In the class this morning, Brother Hires was telling about an incident that happened back at the close of one of the world wars, in which a young man, just remembering what had been said by his parents, caused him to make a decision. And that decision, no doubt, not only affected him, but affected those who were around him. Young people, sometimes one of you can remember who you are and make the right decision and affect the entire group. Or, with peer pressure as it is, you can make the wrong decision and affect the entire group. One bad apple can affect the entire barrel, but one good apple sometimes can start the seeds in the right direction for the other apples to be good. You're going to have an influence on those around you. And so as you think about that, and the powerful influence is there, and I'm not for sure there's one of us here this morning who really understands how powerful that influence is, you need to remember who you are. Look back to your ancestors. Look forward to your descendants. Look outward to your friends and associates. Number four, look up to God and remember who you are. We might even tie this to the previous point with Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's the idea of reaching out to others. But look at the conclusion of the verse. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, that verse is saying, among other things, that you and I are to live in such a way that we remember, if we're Christians, that we are shedding a light out there that others are going to see in such a way that the glory can go to God who deserves it. Remember who you are. If you and I are Christians, we're wearing the only name where there's salvation, Acts 4:12. The name at which every knee should bow, Philippians 2:9 through 11. The name in which every word and deed is to be done, Colossians 3:17. In fact, God's word says in Galatians 3:27, when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And just a few verses before that, at 2:20, he said, Christ lives in me while I live here in the flesh. If I'm wearing the name of Christ, it's just exactly like the bride that's wearing the name of her husband. She puts on that name and wears it. Each one of us who's become a Christian has put on that name, and we are to wear it. And I'll guarantee you that if you will remember who you are in your relationship to Christ and to God, it will affect each decision that you make in life. Remember who you are to the ancestors, to the descendants, to your friends and associates, to God. And now the most important point. And how can any point be more important than one's relationship to God? Each one of us needs to remember who he is, looking inwardly. Tonight I can leave every one of you somewhere else, but I've got to take me home with me. I cannot get rid of me. And I've got to remember who I am. I don't quote a lot of Shakespeare for obvious reasons. But there is one thing that Shakespeare said that has stuck with me through the years. It's one of my favorite statements that anybody's ever said. To thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. In other words, you've got to remember who you are as you look inwardly at yourself. Listen to some scriptures. Let a man examine himself, and so let him take of the bread and the fruit of the vine. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. To the young man Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. To preachers, the example of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body daily to keep it under control. After having taught others, I myself might become a castaway. elders of the church, with as great a responsibility as they have to take heed to the flock, in the same verse, before being told to take heed to the flock, they're told, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. Remember who you are as you look inwardly. Remember your philosophy of life, your attitude toward life. Remember from whence you came and where you're going. From everlasting to everlasting, as far as God is concerned. From the beginning of your soul to an eternity that shall never end. Remember who you are. And it will affect every decision that you make. Remember who you are back to your ancestors. Live in such a way as to bring praise and thanks to them. Remember who you are forward to your descendants. Don't do anything that will affect your grandchildren and great-grandchildren physically, spiritually, or any other way. Remember who you are outwardly to your friends. Lead them to Christ, not away. Remember who you are when you look up to God, that you're wearing His name and you're to live in such a way as to give Him the glory. And especially look into your own heart. Keep it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. And remember who you are. Question, who are you? Who are you this morning? A faithful Christian? Thanks be to God. Just keep on. If you're not an active part of this congregation or some congregation, get involved under the leadership of the elders as God intended it to be. Who are you? A wayward child of God who needs to straighten out something in his life in order to have that kind of influence? Then do it today. Who are you? One who has never confessed the name of Jesus Christ and been buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, to be a Christian still outside of Christ? Yes, it's important for you to remember who you are, but it's important for you to know who you are. And to know, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Who are you this morning? As the Lord's invitation is extended and we sing to encourage you to come, think about that. Who are you if you're not what God and you both really want? Come to Him as together we stand and sing.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see our soul's deep need, while your Father calls you,